Five. Matthew 5, continuing our Sermon on the Mount series. We've come to the end of the Beatitudes. Well, let's read them all together, but our focus is going to be particularly on verses 10 and 11. Matthew 5, that's found on page 962. Page 962, we'll start reading at Matthew 5 at verse 2, reading down to verse 12. Matthew 5, verse 2, "And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." And here's our focus. "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And that's as far as reading here in Matthew 5. I do encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we consider these words together. And we pray for the blessing of our God upon the preaching of his word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, no one likes to be picked on. It's a terrible feeling when people mock you, persecute you, point and stare. Most of us remember a time when we were in grade school where our classmates were not kind to us. I think of one particular example in my own life. I was made fun of for wearing the wrong kind of shoes. Some people are mocked for their spelling or for how they speak or for how they do their hair. Most of us would rather be invisible than rather face the mocking ridicule of a classmate. But today Jesus is saying that those who are persecuted are the same ones who are blessed. Here again, Jesus is bringing before us the upside down nature of the kingdom of God, the unexpected nature of the kingdom of God. The first shall be last. If you want to save your life, you have to lose it. If you want to be accepted and praised by men, then you will lose out on the kingdom. But if men despise you, then you are welcomed into the kingdom. Those who are persecuted will be blessed. Here again, this is a difficult and hard saying for us to accept, that Jesus is saying when your life is hard here on earth, you're better off. And in fact, as we see at the end of our reading, you should be glad. You should rejoice when people are mean to you, when your life is difficult. It doesn't compute with our natural fallen minds. Because if Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, if Jesus is already victorious, if Jesus has already crushed the head of the serpent, if his kingdom has come and is coming, why in the world are we still persecuted? If we've already been set free, why do we still face persecution in this world? Well, as we turn on the news, we see that persecution is all around us. Just this past week, I read once again of the mass murder of estimated over 100,000 Christians in Nigeria by Muslims. Nigerian Christians are being slaughtered for their faith, and those who aren't killed are losing all their earthly possessions as they have to flee for their lives. In the country of India, you have Hindu groups that continue to harass God's people, burning the churches. You have the political persecution in North Korea and China as the government cracks down on Christian worship services. And even our northern neighbors in Canada, you maybe remember this from last year, there was a new law proposed in Canada where those who were convicted of, quote, hate speech would be fined or sentenced to prison. And hate speech is simply speaking the truth. You could be fined or imprisoned for calling a boy and a girl a girl. For most people, when persecution comes, the solution is to change in order to fit in. So going back to my example, when people mocked me for wearing the wrong kind of shoes, my position was, well, then I'm going to buy the right kind of shoes. I don't want to stand out. I don't want people to see me as different because people reject what is different. So the solution to persecution is to blend in, to remove the offense. But today we are going to see that would be a critical error for God's people. If our response to persecution is to remove the offense, to no longer be different, we lose our witness and we lose the reward. So today, as we conclude our study of the Beatitudes, we consider this theme: the power of Jesus Christ enables us to stand and even rejoice in the presence of persecution. I'll say that again. Jesus Christ enables us to stand and rejoice in the presence of persecution. We start again this week by considering the identity of those who are blessed. As verse 10 reads, "Blessed are those who are persecuted." Blessed are those who are persecuted. Now, the word persecution means that someone is following after you, mocking you. The visual image would be someone walking after you, throwing dust, throwing rocks, throwing insult, heaping scorn and derision upon you. One example in the Old Testament is 2 Samuel 16. That's when Shimei was following after David as David was running for his life, fleeing. And this man, Shimei, was walking after David and his companions, literally throwing dust, throwing rocks, calling curses upon David. Well, that's the idea of persecution, that people are throwing rocks at you, throwing heaping insult or are persecution upon you in this way. The old saying was tarred and feathered, a mocking way of someone being ridiculed. Now remember, brothers and sisters, this is describing the church. Blessed are you. Blessed are God's people. Blessed are those who are persecuted. God's people will be persecuted. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when and how. Each individual is more or less persecuted for their faith as God's people. We are all persecuted in some way. Now it may not be physical persecution, martyrs, as we see in other countries. But as we see today, it is the identity, the DNA of the church is to be persecuted in this world. And Jesus says, blessed are you when you are persecuted. You are blessed. God's people are blessed when the world follows after you and throws dust at you or heaps scorn, ridicule, and mock upon you. Blessed are you when people insult you and harass you. Well, why is it that the church is persecuted in this world? Why would the world persecute God's people? Well, the devil, as the prince or the ruler of this particular age, persecuted Christ, tempted Christ, sought to destroy Christ through the works of Herod. But now that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead and is seated at the right hand of his Father in glory, Jesus Christ is out of the reach and it is impossible for the devil to persecute Jesus Christ. But as the book of Revelation unfolds, because the devil cannot wage war against Christ anymore, him being out of reach, the devil turns his fury to the followers of Christ, to the church. Why does the devil hate Christ? Why does the devil hate the church? Because the church stands for the truth. The church stands for righteousness. When we say what is true and our lives reflect the truth of God's word, we shine as distinct, as different. Our words, our life is like light that exposes their own sin and makes them uncomfortable. No one wants to see their own sin. They'd rather live in darkness. and supposed ignorance. The world sees the church as different, as a threat. People hate anything that makes them uncomfortable or cannot be controlled. We read this earlier in John 15, verse 19. The world hates the church because the church is not of this world. It's in the world, but not of it. The world is no friend to grace. And actually, Scripture says, friendship with the world is hostility towards God. You cannot find peace and rest, comfort in this world, and yet be at peace and rest with God. Another reason we are persecuted is because our actions display the sinfulness of the world. So there is a difference that is evident, and there is a sinful exposure that takes place when the church shines in this fallen world. So here below, as the devil attacks Christ and his people, and as the world hates anything that is contrary to its own worldview, the battle continues to go forth. The antithesis, battle between good and evil. Even as Revelation 2 verse 10 puts it, the devil threw some members of the early church into prison because in this world we will face tribulation. Added to this persecution, those outside of Christ will say all sorts of mean and evil and untrue things about God's people. Verse 11 continues, they will revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you. So who are the blessed ones? The blessed ones are the ones who are persecuted. The blessed ones are those who are reviled, who are persecuted, and who have all sorts of evil things said about them. The fact is, in this world, every Christian will face persecution of various sorts, various times, and in various ways. Not everyone will receive the physical persecution where they'll become a martyr or they'll lose their earthly possessions. But verse 11 makes it clear that persecution comes in all sorts of different kinds. What kind of persecution do we face here in the United States today? The persecution that we face today is found in verse 11. It's the persecution where people revile you and utter all kinds of evil things against you. It is a verbal persecution, which is persecution nonetheless. Sometimes when we think of persecution, we think of just the most extreme or most vehement hatred made evident in other countries. But here, Jesus Christ is saying that there is a persecution that is present across the board with God's people, and it's where others would revile you, would say mean, nasty things about you, and even untrue things about you. So yes, a martyr is someone who is persecuted for their faith, as Stephen, the first New Testament martyr in Acts chapter 7. But Jesus is saying there are many other kinds of persecution that God's people might face, such as slander, public disgrace, gossiping. Our present culture is a little bit more common a few years ago, but it was the cancel culture, where if you spoke the truth, you would be labeled. People would unfriend you. People would stop talking to you for simply saying what is true. What is true about gender, about marriage, about identity. If you speak these truths in our world, people will hate you. They will become angry with you. And even as we saw with Charlie Kirk, they may even try to take your life. God's people are consistently shouted down, cursed, and threatened. God's people have lost out on job promotions. They've had income taken away. They've been hauled to court and threatened and sued. Even some here have been mocked or blacklisted because of the church that they attend, or because their biblical view on specific issues. All of this is a clear identity of God's people, and Jesus Christ says it is these who are blessed. The persecution that we receive is because of who we are in Christ and how we live as his disciples. Blessed are those who are persecuted for their identity and for their actions as Christians. And I want to be abundantly clear here. Persecution is not just a general hardship that we all face living in a fallen world. Persecution is not when you get a flat tire. It's not when people make fun of you because of the color of your hair or because you wear glasses or don't wear glasses. Persecution is not when people are just jerks. That's not the persecution that Jesus is talking about. Look again at verse 10. Persecuted for righteousness' sake. This is not talking, Jesus is not talking about the playground bullying. Now that's sin that shouldn't be happen, that shouldn't happen. That's terrible when that happens. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. Continuing in verse 11, persecuted on account of Jesus Christ. So here Jesus makes it clear, this persecution is not a general inconvenience. It is when people target you because of who you are in Christ and how you act as a Christian. Someone who slashes your tires because you spoke the truth. That's called religious persecution. As 2 Timothy 3 verse 12 clarifies, all who desire to live a godly life in Jesus Christ will be persecuted. So it's not the general hardships that we face, shared by all people. It is a religious persecution that we suffer because of righteousness, because of who we are in Christ. Because the fact is, we don't fit here. Our worldview does not match with the worldview of this world. When you live by Jesus Christ's standards, your identity of what is true and what is false, what is acceptable and what is unacceptable, has been molded by God's word and does not fit in this world in which we live. Our obedience to Christ will rile the hostility of our enemies. So why do we face persecution? We face persecution because the world hates Christ and hates his word and hates his followers. And Jesus says, don't be surprised at this, that's from John, because they hated me. They hate me, they will hate my followers. Well, now that we've understood the identity of those who are persecuted, in our second point, we push on to see how Jesus says they will specifically be blessed. Blessed are you when you are persecuted, this is verse 10, persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, if you've been paying attention, this will sound very familiar to you. If you look back to verse 3, you'll find the very same promise here given. The very first beatitude, bringing us full circle, if you will. The same thing promised in verse 3 is here reaffirmed in verse 10. Yours is the kingdom. The kingdom is your inheritance. You already have the kingdom. So Jesus is saying, don't worry about it if people reject you here on earth, because you have a home in heaven. Don't fret when people take your earthly things here below. You have an inheritance that is kept for you in heaven. Don't worry about it when people slander you or say all sorts of false, mean, nasty things about you here on earth because of your faith, because you will receive a name, an honor, in the kingdom that is to come. Now, we're all used to praying in the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, but here Jesus is saying, yours is the kingdom. I mean, ponder this. When we pray, yours is the kingdom, power, and glory, here Jesus is saying, since you are in me, my people, my bride, what I receive is yours. Yours is the kingdom. In order to further apply this fact, Jesus continues in verse 11, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Blessed are you. It's a further personal affirmation. It's not just blessed are these kinds of people, some unknowable and undefinable group out there. It's saying, blessed are you as a church, as God's people. This is your inheritance. This is describing you and the blessings that are yours. Blessed are you. It's a repeated, direct, personal focus. Yes, the church is blessed. Yes and amen. But you are blessed. Having been joined to Christ by faith, you are blessed. Verse 12 continues, your reward is great in heaven. There are blessings, there are riches, there are honor and crowns and glory reserved for you. So people slander your name below. You have a name that will be held in honor up above. An inheritance that cannot be lost, will never fade, and will never be destroyed. And that's what this as an article of true faith affirms this. Jesus repeats it and affirms it again because we're slow to accept it. We're slow to acknowledge what is true. True faith is a personal faith. True faith doesn't simply say these things are true in abstract. True faith says that this is true of me. The Catechism defines it, not only others, but I too have had my sins forgiven and been made forever right with God. So Jesus Christ is taking us by the hand and saying, brother and sister, do you believe this? Do you affirm this about yourself? That you are blessed by God. You may not see it in all its extent today, but you are blessed by God, and your reward is great. And it is coming. And because this is true, verse 12 says, you can rejoice and be glad. Wait a minute. Are you saying that I should be glad when people persecute me? That I should rejoice when people say all sorts of nasty, mean, untrue, and unkind things about me? Yes. Rejoice and be glad. That's what we find in Acts 5. Acts chapter 5, the apostles were imprisoned. They were arrested because they were preaching the truth. And when they were set free, what did they do? They rejoiced. That's Acts chapter 5. They were glad that they had been counted worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. They were glad. And here, brothers and sisters, is where we need to count the cost. We need to consider the price that we are willing to pay. Are you willing to suffer today in order to receive the reward tomorrow? Are you willing to be slandered today in order to be called the Son of God tomorrow? Are you willing to have your earthly goods plundered and stolen in order to receive the crown of glory in the life that is to come? What are you willing to give up for the name of Jesus Christ? In this, we find the principle of delayed gratification. Those who live by faith are called to suffer short-term for long-term glory. It's sort of like the principle behind saving for your retirement. Every month, you put a little money aside into an IRA in the hope of gaining the benefit further on. In a similar way, when you suffer in this life, you are willing to let these things go because you are assured of something better in the life that is to come. Willing to let go of the easy life today in the hope and promise of a blessed life tomorrow. So I ask you again, do you think it's worth it? If you had to choose today between letting go of all your earthly possessions for the name of Jesus Christ, in order to avoid denying the name of Christ, if you had to choose you this day, either keep all of your earthly possessions, keep your easy life and your nice cars and your nice house and your bank account, keeping all these things intact, but you had to deny the name of Jesus Christ, Would you choose that? Or would you choose obedience, profession, confessing what is true, knowing that it would mean the loss of all your earthly treasures? Jesus is here saying, that's the wise choice. It's better for you to lose all of these earthly things, because great is your reward in heaven. So when people label God's people, when people label you as a bigot or zealot or homophobic or transphobic or whatever title society puts upon God's people, we can actually say, praise God that I was willing, that I was able to be persecuted for the sake of my Lord. I want to read one passage with, this is in 1 Peter 4, if you want to turn with me. 1 Peter 4, verse 12. 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice insofar as you share Christ's suffering, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But before we close, there's one more aspect to this blessing that Jesus Christ includes here in verse 12, and it's the blessing of being counted among the number of God's people. So back in verse 12, we find the blessing of association. In this way, Jesus says, the prophets who went before you were also persecuted. Jesus is saying that when you are persecuted for your faith, you are finding your place in the line of faithful witnesses. Just as Jeremiah was rejected, thrown into a cistern and his word cut up with a knife. Just as Daniel was thrown into the lion's den for refusing to heed the word of the king because he not wanted to pray as he ought. In this way, we are like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, thrown into the fiery furnace for refusing to worship a graven image. Just as John the Baptist beheaded for speaking the truth. In our men's Bible study, we looked at Abel. Why was Abel killed? Because he was a man of faith who offered a right sacrifice. In fact, being persecuted for the sake of Christ because of your obedience to Christ's word is a badge of honor, if you will, and you find your place in the lineage of the faithful saints who have gone before. But even more than that, as we read in 1 Peter 4, in suffering you share in Christ's suffering. Not only are you following in the train of the prophets who have gone before, you are following in the train of Christ. You can rejoice and be glad because his glory is being revealed in and through you. You're sharing in the same suffering that Christ endured. Persecution puts you in the line of the blessed man who goes before us, his riches and glory now reserved and shared with you. To conclude, persecution is the expected and natural consequence of God's people living in a fallen world. Today, the weeds and the wheat grow alongside each other. The goats of the world are butting their heads against the sheep. The world loves their own, but they hate those who do not belong to the world. As Jesus says, when you are hated for your faith, when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake, blessed are you. Yours is the kingdom, and your reward is great. The power of Jesus Christ enables us to stand and rejoice in the presence of persecution. So may we all stand firm in the fire of persecution, even rejoicing at the promise of the blessings that are held for God's people. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this wonderful reminder that this world is hostile to Christ and to your word. We pray that we would not, that we would never deny you, that we would never forsake, that we would never reject your word, that we would never refuse to live as we ought in this world because we were afraid of men. Help us to know, Lord, that we are to fear and obey you above and before all else. That we are not to live in fear of what men might think of us, but rather what you think of us. That we'd be willing to suffer persecution, the loss of earthly riches, to suffer slander, and to be ridiculed for the sake, for the name of Jesus Christ, who calls us. May we be consistent as we live out our life here below, knowing that it is indeed the blessed life to which we are called. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of response will be the last time we sing the Beatitudes, 464. 464, we'll stand and sing 5 through 8. 5 through 8 of 464. Our offering of thanksgiving will now be received, and our special offering is for the Benevolence Fund. After that, we'll stand and sing the doxology, Glory Be to the Father.